February 2023, it's a Watt from Pedro show.
Strange things, all the rage, baby, excitement's what I crave. Don't be dead until you're in your grave. Baby, we're living in the atomic age. Came in the morning just as high as a kite. She said, Daddy, Daddy, things ain't right. I've been seeing them flying saucers last night. Strange things are all the rage. Baby, excitement's what I crave. Don't be dead until you're in your grave. Baby, we're living in the atomic age. Understand, when you see two women walking hand in hand, one talking like a woman, the other like a man. Strange things, all the rage, baby, excitement's what I crave. Don't be dead until you're in your grave. Baby, we are living in the atomic age. I don't believe it, but it was on my TV. The father of triplets at 93. Strange things, all the rage. Baby, excitement's what I crave. Don't be dead until you're in your grave. Baby, we are living in the atomic age. Baby, we are living in the atomic age. Baby, we are living in the atomic age. Baby, we are living in the atomic age.
Watch for Pedro show. Happy Wednesday. Start off the show with John Coltrane and Coatesville Harris. Strange Things, All the Rage. This is like early days of John Coltrane playing with these R&B bands. Still in Philly and learning his trade. And trippy song. And yeah, life's a journey, right? Especially when it comes to music. Then we had the Royal Arctic Institute with K-Style Circuit. And because of those, well, you could tell by that fucking racket that I'm not man alone. Because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I got with me Lynn and Lyle from the Royal Arctic Institute. Sorry. Welcome aboard again, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Hello.
Welcome. Thanks for letting us be back. It's great.
Of course. Well, you got another installment of music. So what can you guys tell me about this time in the studio for the Royal Arctic Institute?
Lynn, you want to take that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we did it like the last one. We went in to Yola Tango space with James engineering and cut it live like a jazz record, you know, just played all in the room over a few days and, you know, mixed it quick, did it punk rock style. And, and this is what came out of it, you know.
Is the Yola Tango space in Hoboken?
Yeah, it's near Lyle. You can answer that. You're the Hoboken man.
Yeah. So it's this old warehouse, the Newman Leather Building, and it's like one of the last spots that you can practice in Hoboken, Mike.
Is that right?
Of course, they're trying to nuke that. Yeah, but Sonics has their studio in there too.
About Steve Shelley. I know he's always had some place to jam and shit, right?
Yep, and Bob Bird practices there.
That's right. You know,
in Georgia. So the Hoboken drummers are holding it down. But, we got some time, but they're trying to nuke it as well.
It's a gentrification thing, right, La?
Oh, yeah. No, it's like the third or fourth practice space I've been nuked out of in Hoboken. It's this is the end. There's no other spots after this one in town.
My only friend, the end?
Indeed.
Well, no, I should make light of that because that is fuck. People, when you ain't got a prac pad, oh my God, how do you get it together?
Yeah,
in fact, Lynn, can we talk about now? You talked about how you went in and just did it punk style, which to me means like you guys tried to bring your own sound to it. How did you prepare for this quick, like, gig in front of the microphone? It sounds like it was a gig in front of the microphone.
Well, yeah, a little separation, but we just did it old school. We just meet at this rehearsal space and, you know, people would bring in ideas and everyone would play them. We'd, you know, figure out arrangements, change things up, rehearse them, and when we knew them, we recorded, you know, just kind of classic band, get in the rehearsal space, shed the material.
Well,
you
know
last
the
time, idea work.
I think I remember last time you guys talking about the last recording, it had to be done much different because of the situation, right?
Yeah.
The parties were more remote.
I think it was the one before. Last one we got to do it this way. The one before the parties.
That's what I meant. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, Lynn. Sorry.
I mean, the two records ago, I just came in and, you know, my own little day during the pandemic and played some, you know, guitar, and that was it. So it wasn't really the, you know, musicians in the room thing. It was more of an overdub session for me.
But in a way, it was kind of a document of that time. So it's just as honest, I think, as what you guys did with this. I mean, you're dealing with it. Music's a fucking lifeline, especially when the situation. But, I mean, there's several ways. You say the classic way is the guys get in there, what somebody brings in a lick and people start jamming on. But there's this other way where, like, people bring in fully realized demos. Did you have any of that going on?
I mean, our guy, you know, I mean, both guitar players, everyone kind of brings in demos of some sort, but everyone kind of dissects and takes them apart. And, you know, some songs are more, you know, the all team effort, and then a couple are more close to the demos. But, you know, all the demos aren't like there's your drum part, you know, and this is the bass part. So even when it's a demo, it's still we're doing our own thing. But a lot of these tracks, a few of these tracks are definitely more just one riff was brought in and we just kind of explored the 10,000 other ways that we could have gone with it.
Well, I'm getting at, like, was it a 7-line? Was it just a tune at a time?
Well, it was kind of, like, in other words, it happened all different ways. There's one thing I brought in. I had the full structure in the demo, but then, you know, you start playing it and people start saying, oh, that shouldn't, you know, the bridge should be different. It shouldn't happen as many times, you know.
That's why I said there's different ways. And maybe just for the one tune, the guy who brought in the shit, he gets to be the rudder man a little bit.
Yeah.
Not like dictator, but like, you know, just, you know, so things got some kind of structure and stuff. I'm not talking so much hierarchy and shit, but.
And then you spread those
control things around, so it's not like, you know, yeah, the same old, same old.
Oh yeah, no, that's definitely more.
Can I get mm-hmm. a little specific? Yeah. Like walk me through K-Style Surf.
Oh, that was interesting. All right, so the basic riff that starts the song and some other stuff was the other guitar player who writes a lot of music. He brought it in as a structure, and then it didn't feel right. We just couldn't get the feel. And our bass player, Dave, he's kind of the man who, if it doesn't feel right, he's the one who'll just start ripping it apart and rebuilding. And eventually, I think Dave and I were just playing around with Lyle, and we just changed the rhythm of it. And then, you know how that goes. We started changing the chords to the chorus, and then the outro was I was just improvising, like with delays and stuff, thinking of, you know, old school Robert Fripp, and then everyone jumped in, and then that became a section of the song. So that one took a long time because it just didn't feel right. So we kept getting rid of the sections that didn't feel right, but we liked the ones we had, and we just wrote until it was done.
Okay. So what the other guitar man, what's his name?
John Leon.
Yeah, John Leon. He like brings the starting point. And then from there, it becomes Royal Arctic Institute.
Correct, yeah. I mean, that one we even had before. We've been playing around with that one, as even on the last record, we were still playing around. But, yeah, it's not until we flipped it into this kind of semi-samba kind of groove on the verse where we were able to it actually feel good. And then when Lynn made up that outro, you know, we were all like, okay, this is now we're going to take this to another step.
So this actually was part of the last batch. So in a way, it was kind of a little Orson Wellian, right? We didn't sell no wine before it's time.
Yeah. I mean, we've got the title track of the last EP is the song on this EP from Catnap Tacoma. We had that track as well for the last EP, but it wasn't ready. But so we finally brought it back. We brought it back this time because we felt it.
Okay,
right.
What about this? I want to play next. This baby, Elated World.
Okay, yeah, that's Lynn's magic. Yes,
you brought this one in, Lynn.
Yeah. So what happened was, Lyle was like, "Oh, we don't. You know, I'm a late addition to the thing. I'm kind of like just the Seth guy who came in and ended up staying." But
Hal Blaine.
They just said, oh, Lyle was saying, oh, but we're missing, you know, there's certain feels we don't have from the last record. And so I just kind of went home and I said, what is it we don't have? What would John write? So I just tried to write a song like John, but then I just got in my own head. And the structure of this, I think we kept pretty close to how I wrote it. But Dave, of course, our bass man, he's the arranger, man. He's the guy who, when you bring him a song, if something's not working, he has the idea for it.
I love hearing that. Like the band counting on the bass player. I love hearing that.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's hear. You know what? You just made Watt one of the elated ones. Listen to the elated ones.
Thank you. Water feels. Kicks and cannonballs. It hears our gibberish. Are those Louis Vuitton sunglasses? No, they're just sunglasses. Sick, bruh. A girl somersault dives. Mason, you're a liar. I listen, but don't catch a word. The unseen bottom looks up. Limbed commotions break the surface. We're centuries, mystical as mermaids. Mommy, come over here, honey. I speak air, but I want to learn to speak flow. I want to learn to speak underground entry through rock caverns. In words that belong to the present. I tip my head back. That chicken foot cloud, why is it white? Why not dove? Why not cotton shadow? That lasted 5 minutes. I hold my legs as still as I can, like a butterfly stopper in a perfume bottle. A nymph-handled dagger. But the water notices me. It holds my shape, saying, swish. It buoys me, saying, on the banks of the Waxahachie. It pushes me, singing Old Man River. I feel as if I've done nothing wrong. I have no guilt toward my mother or brother. It's not my job to think. What time is it? Because I have to go soon, Mr. CEO. The surface ripples. The great sky wavers. Rolling outward. Past the rope.
grab my guitar. Won't be long, you'll be rocking to the song of that.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Train is a coming.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
You better start running.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Train is a coming.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
You better start running. I can be 4 miles. When we're done, you're gonna smile. Time to let go of your home of all the clear. Listen to the music, tell me what you hear.
Something I don't mind losing my voice. anything goes. I mean, what else could I live for but you? I guess that's why I wanna walk you home. I wanna reason for you. Really fun things to do. Won't you come with me tonight? I'll show you some love and I'll try to make it give it time. A little bit of nursery rhyme. Rock-a-bye, baby. Thank you.
Watch for Pedro's show. That chunk of music start off the Royal Arctic Institute doing The Elated World. Then we had Field Knots after that with Pond. Spotsky's out of the hospital. He's back in Sheboygan. He's healing up. He's going to still have to have that lung transplant. Lyle, you know Brother Spot. You know all the old SST days. He got this fibrosis shit, this scar tissue on his lung. He can't breathe.
Oh, I did not know that. That's brutal.
And then while that was going down, he got a stroke. So he's still working on trying to talk again and stuff.
Whoa. Okay.
But, you know, fourth act, like Lee Ronaldo told me, fourth act is tough.
And yeah.
He's up there in his 70s now. Joe Baez is too, a lot. Watt's 65. Fucking, I remember hearing those fucking numbers when I was a boy. It was scary shitless. Yeah, fuck, now we got a limit. Yeah. Anyway. Everybody, put out the good fucking spirit for Spotsky. This is his 2-17-48. After that, we had Cot O'Donnell from England with Nail Marks of Existence. This cat loves to put his titles in parentheses. Like, I thought parentheses made sense only if it was something out of the parentheses, but nope, parentheses alone statement. Then we had Spice Pistols with Spice Train. Screaming Geezers after that. Cell Phone Zombies. It's got a cat who was just on the show, John Shirley, right? A couple weeks ago. Mama's Prended from D.C. area. Sock Braid for studio version, I guess. Live, I think they've only done 5 or 6 gigs. They've recorded like 7,000-8,000 songs in 40 years. Byron Coley, specialty band, by the way.
Awesome.
And Ratchet Orchestra after that. Montreal, Quebecois. Part 1 of Hemlock. And then finally, the Royal Arctic Institute with Passover Buckets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Buckets of it's coming. And I guess, get your bucket full of lamb blood, right, so that you get passed over. So remember when I found that out, you get passed over. It's like a good thing. It's a good, usually that's a lame, like in Little League, you get passed, that's like the bass player in the old days, right field, right?
Yeah.
You get picked last, you get passed over. But in this case, you want to get passed. So
absolutely.
So hit me to passed over buckets.
Okay, so that one, the title of that one is, because it was about a marriage of between a Jewish person and a non-Jewish person and their kids, and their kids wanted to celebrate Easter.
Well, can I ask which one? Because, one's worse than the other because if the Shiks is involved, right?
Yes. I wasn't going to go Yiddish on it.
Yeah, I know,
sure,
but it's okay. I love that. It's shorthand in this showbiz racket, man. I love it. Jimmy Cagney. Yep. Guy born in with Irish parents, he can speak it fluently.
Yeah, well, I'm a big proponent of trying to somehow keep Yiddish going, but that's for another interview.
I'll tell you one little tip about that. One time I was in Israel at Tel Aviv to do a gig with the Stooges, and I met a bunch of young musicians there. We went to Jaffa. Brother Steve McKay was involved with the free jazz gig. These cats did not know about Yiddish. They only spoke Hebrew. Blew my mind.
No, it's very much a dying language, but there's some punters out there that are going to just keep it going.
Either kvetch or you kvel, right?
Absolutely.
You're the shlemiel or you're the shlemizel. I just love it. Shorthand for so much shit in this racket, I just love it.
Yeah.
So hit me to this lap.
Okay, so it's kind of a Fakafta story. There's one for you. So the family was trying to figure out a way to incorporate the Easter basket and Passover. So they made the Passover bucket. And they passed that around.
Improvised. Yep. Like good jazz. Improvised.
Yep, you gotta mix it up and you gotta keep all the traditions going. So that's an important thing. So that's Passover Bucket, but another.
Yeah, but I'm asking in Arctic Royal Institute terms, how did this baby get birthed?
Oof. I mean, I think it might have been another a Leon riff, but for me, drum-wise, that drum pattern was something I was working on for a long time. And when that riff started coming around, I was like, oh, I can play this thing I've been practicing for a minute. So that anything beyond that of the song, I can't really talk about because I'm so focused on playing, you know, the bit. Oh, I will tell you this, though.
Yeah.
You like this, Mr. White? We were doing the chorus.
Yeah.
And Lynn was going, Lyle, man, you got to play it more like Jim Keltner. Like, just go into the pocket, you know? Yes. Okay. So,
I thought you were he was going to ask you to go full on Klezmer and get some fucking jukebox going.
No,
we hadn't named it. It had no name when I said that.
John Bowles calls it the forbidden beat, right? Because, like, real punk, right? It comes from Scott Ashton in I Got It Right, indeed. Stooges, right? It's not really Oompa.
Yeah.
Oompa was like kind of a knucklehead, skinhead thing, maybe.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah. Okay, we got that settled. I'm glad. No debate there.
But I did want to ask you, how was it to play with Jim Keltner? I mean, that must have been amazing.
Let me tell you, the guy is beautiful. Yeah. The dude is beautiful, cat. He's from Tulsa originally, told me. Leon Russell brought him out. But this guy, just to show you what he's like, you know, I hadn't played this bass in, 18 years since the first Stooges thing at Coachella. And I brought it back just for this because, I don't know, we lost Dusty Hill and I thought I'd bring it back a little
instrumental.
And anyway, he goes to me, you know, Mike, I don't play bass, but if I do, I would play one like that. And then, you know, the band leader, because this wasn't a Watt project, right? It's Mike Pagetta.
Yeah.
And he asked me to bring in a tune. So I bring in this tune called Yank It Out, and I go down the A part, you know, and I run it past both him and Mr. Keltner. Mr. Keltner, what do you think of that? And he goes, you know, Mike, whatever you play, it makes me feel good. I mean, this is the kind of guy Jim Keltner is.
Yeah.
Like, there's no tune, there's no sports competition, there's no fucking boulder chip on the shoulder shit. He's just a beautiful cat, man. He wants to be there with you and bring a song to the world.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is amazing, because if anyone could be the worst, it could be that guy. Like, he crushes everything, and he plays so amazing. And to hear that he's just like the most chilled cat is amazing to hear.
3 years old, he brought in his own drums, set them up himself. I think he lives up in Silver Lake, east of Hollywood. And, totally unassuming cat, just for the love of music, you know?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He's there for the music.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Great to hear.
You meet a lot of jive in this racket, you know, so a sincere guy is just a beautiful thing. I mean, it was really incredible. And we did that whole thing in 3.5 hours. No practice.
Whoa.
Right? You just come in there and you make an album. Sort of like you guys were saying about the old days.
Yeah, that sounds great. I didn't know. I thought the record had more. I love that record.
What Mike Baghetta did was, it was the same with the first one, Wall of Flowers. But I think the band leader, the guitar man, Mike Baghetta, he did go back and add some overdubs from Florida. He lives in Gainesville, Florida these days. And I think he added some overdub before Chris Schlaub mixed it. But me and Mr. Keltner, our whole thing was just a couple hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
And then some of it was totally improvised, right? Some guy comes up with a thing and trying to jump on the lick. And it was a beautiful experience. Man. It was a pinch hitter. I wanted to do good for him, you know. But he's the guy you want with you, man. He's going to be there. He's not going to fucking, you know what I mean? It's just something else. It's like, you know, getting to record with D. Boone.
He's not going to leave you hanging.
No. No. And in fact, enjoy that, right? Some dicks are like that. Like, aha.
Yeah.
You know, dangle by my whim, you know? My whim, right? Dangle by my fucking whim. All the people jive about that kind of way.
Yeah, I don't like it
either. It definitely puts us. It made the chorus of the song stronger. His spirit really made the chorus really pull together when I just was like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to, you know, play it right in the pocket like Keltner would, or try to play in the pocket kind of like Keltner would, you know, in my own way.
Well, so, you know,
inspiration.
He told me he's got a lot of producing in his background, too. So I think he's a big picture man. Like Lyle, you said you got all detailed on the drum part. I think he does some of that, but he also likes to step back and hear how the whole tune is working out.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, especially
when he came in, when he came into the racket, when Leon Russell brought him, the first thing he did was Joe Cocker, and he was playing with Jim Gordon. And he told me he learned a lot of things from Jim Gordon, but he said Jim Gordon was a little too military for him. But if you listen to that song, Ricky, Don't Lose That Number, you could hear how Jim Gordon builds that tune up. It's really incredible drum part he wrote for that tune.
Absolutely.
I love drummer guys involved with composition. I just love it. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, February 8, 2023, edition of Pedro Show. Special guest Lynn Lau from the Royal Arctic Institute. Hold tight for hour two. February 8, 2023, it's the second hour of Watts Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Wofford Pedro Show. Start off the second hour with the Royal Arctic Institute doing Repo Code. And then we had Sister Grotto with Song for an Unborn Son, S-O-N. Planning for Burial with Matawan, Network Glass, and Jason Krumer collabing with something called Prerequisite, and this is number three. We played number two last time. Fuck what? Get together. Okay, and finally, Different End, the Royal Arctic Institute. So, enlighten us to Different End.
Lynn, is that one of your jams?
Oh, Different End Sodium Light?
The title I got is called Different End.
Oh, it must be.
So maybe there's a pilot error with the fucking song name.
It must be the Sodium Light. That must be it, my friend.
Okay, I'll correct it. It should be Sodium Light, not Different End. Okay. I'll fix the playlist. Okay, then tell me about Sodium Light.
Let's see, what do we got on that one? We got, that's another, yeah, Lynn, you're on that too. It's Brushes, you know, you want to talk about some Brushes, and, you know, we always open with it. I like to call it Our Hello There by Cheap Trick, because each musician comes in, and you can hear the volume that everybody's at.
Also for gigs, the first song is good for the sound man to try to get it together, right?
Yes. So that's why we like, I like to open with that one, because everyone comes in one at a time.
Tell me about its evolution. Like, Lynn, you brought in the basic idea?
No, this was the first thing. This was not from this EP. This is from a couple before.
Okay.
And it's the first thing I ever played on. So they had written it, and they just wanted, like, the lead stuff. So I just came in and played on it, you know. I'd never, you know, I'd heard it once, I think, and I came in and played on it. I think I was playing a little too dissonant, so the producer kept saying too many blue notes, and I just straightened it out, and it worked, and that was that for me. I don't know how you guys wrote it.
Yeah, no, it's so funny. It takes so long. It's not that long ago, but it's, you know, pandemic practices. So, you know, I just think it was just, probably just me and Mo. And, cause during the pandemic, Mike, two of the guys, John and Mo, David, they both work in hospitals. So we were able to actually practice, you know, cause they were always getting tested early on and stuff. And, so a lot of the songs were written just as a trio. And then, when we recorded, we brought in Lynn and Carl was coming in and out, but Carl was definitely, you know, like we all were, just very unsure what we should be doing during the pandemic. So like when, even when we recorded, Carl was very far away. He was in the building with us, but he was very far away. But we did a lot of trio practices, because those guys were getting tested and, you know, I was masked up. And so we did a lot. That was one of the songs we definitely worked on.
Understood. You know, what about
during the dark days?
What about Repo Code?
Okay, so that one's a fun little bonus one. That song is not made either the last three records, so it's just kind of hanging around. So I just thought it would be fun to send you that one. That's coming out on a compilation of some sort later in the year. But that one's kind of a B-teamer. But we like playing it. It's real fun to play live, but it hasn't really fit the vibe of the last two records. So we just kind of keep it around as a step cousin and stuff.
Okay.
But it's a real hoot to play live, so we like to play it, you know.
It's the quintessential B-side.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Let's play one that's, I think, an A-side. Tomorrow.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro Show. That chunk of music start off at the Royal Arctic Institute with Tomorrow, Morrow, Land. Then we had Shiverboard live at the House of Yarga in Philadelphia, September 24, 2022. This is I Tried It and It's Not Over. No. Fucked up. I Tried It and It's Not It. Okay. Reynolds after that, brand new. Manorla Acuplemo. Yeah, my Argentine Espanol is fucked up, people. Sorry.
Yeah, your Yiddish is much better than that.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say I'm equal opportunity language fucker upper, so it's not like I'm prejudiced against our southern neighbors. Matt Nelson, Thaddeus Brown with Relic, plus Dog Plus with Power Pop. That's just an excerpt because it went on, got a little Travis Bogart. And then, people, we've run out of Royal Arctic Institute tunes of this new batch. And so I was given by the band some past, I don't know, echoes of yesterday from Lyle and his Das Damen with Quarter After Eight. Now, this is where I met people. I met Lyle. He was the drummer man for Das Damen. And we shared some stages together.
Absolutely. I'm putting together 1986, and I see the fire hose show.
Brand new. The band was just starting to get together again. You guys were already rolling. So. But you were new to SST at the time, I remember. Well, tell me about Quarter After Eight.
That was from our record, Jupiter Eye. And the reason I included it is because it's instrumental. So kind of a precursor of what I'd be doing, 30 years later, some more instrumental music. But, it's a quarter, some weird time signature shit that was written by our old bass player, Phil.
Yeah.
That was his jam. And with an 8-string bass, that was his ride.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so,
cheap trick, like, right? I think that cat plays a 12-string. Tom Peterson or something. Okay. Hit me to this, the last Royal Arctic Institute tune for today, Tomorrow Land.
Again, that's from the same EP, the Sodium Light EP. That's definitely more of the in the vein of a Repo Code, kind of a more of the old Western film noir kind of vibe, that kind of stuff. It's a little peppy for us at this point, but
a lot of your stuff to me is kind of cinematic.
Thank you. Yeah.
You know about the SoCal band Savage Republic?
Yeah, definitely.
And a little more Ennio Marconi thing there, and kind of Arab thing, right? But still, you guys got you're painting landscapes.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Yes, and another earlier was another SST was influence on me at least was Pell Mell.
I remember those cats. Yeah. Maybe from the Northwest.
I thought those guys were killers.
Kind of a surf element too, a little bit.
Yep. And a real band thing, like all five of those guys.
It
wasn't a chops fest. It wasn't
You know who else was like that? From Zona, Sun City Girl.
Yes.
A little bit.
Interesting.
Yeah. I like that cat's guitar playing.
Yeah. They lost one, right? There's just two guys left, I think, now. I like the idea. You think of stuff like John Coltrane, Thelonious Monk, Miles Davis, they were playing mainly instrumental music.
Yeah.
Kind of the word thing, kind of a folk, of course R&B too, but music is music, and there's all kinds of instruments. And the voice is one of them. The hands are another. So are the feet. Look, we've got, we reached the end of the second hour of the February 8th, 2023 edition of the Watford Pedro Show with special guests Lynn and Lyle from the Royal Arctic Institute. Hold tight for hour three. February 8th, 2023. It's the third hour of the Watford Pedro Show. Watch for Pedro show. Start off the third hour with Das Domin, Lyle's old band, with The Outsider. Then we had Luke Stewart, great bass man. Chicago cat, but he just moved. I think he's back east. Even more east than Chicago. Yeah, California. Along Came Ra. He sent Mr. Sonny Blount, right? He went from Birmingham to Chicago. Fletcher Henderson, right? Learned some R&B. Playing strip clubs and shit. Before he found out space was the place. Great book by John Zwed, by the way, people, if you ever get a chance to read it. Giles Corey after that. No One Is Ever Gonna Want Me. And finally, The Hulls with El Cabano. What is Hulls?
Hulls is like a project I had during the pandemic, you know, when you couldn't go out. I just sit around my apartment and layer stuff up. And then I would sometimes wander down to my friend Tony Mamone's studio.
Tony!
Yeah, Tony and I are pretty tight. And so, and then, you know, we'd add some organ or whatever. And that was just me in my apartment making music.
Studio G.
Yeah, exactly. Wandering down the Studio G to hang with Tony. And, yeah, that's just all that was, you know, making music while we couldn't do anything.
Now, you know, there's a Hulls. I had a cat on the show a couple months ago, Ian Mackay's brother, Alec. And he sings for a band, Mark Cisneros, right? It's called the Hammered Hulls.
Okay. I was just naming it after boats, you know, the Hulls of ships.
Well, I think they are, too.
Yeah, they are,
I know,
too.
So
either
maybe
that or
should,
the
maybe
sailors all Paracho on that boat.
Yeah.
Okay, so were you the only dude playing on this, Lyle?
On which one?
Hulls.
No, that's me.
It's all Lynn. It's all Lynn.
Oh, it's Lynn. I got the voices fucked up. Sorry, Lynn.
Yeah. I just played, like, it's just a bunch of guitars and some voices, and then I went to Tony's, and Tony has an organ, so I just played some organ on it, and, I just played.
Dude,
I think Tony might have played.
You know he has a guitar you might want to one day play? It's a Red Stratocaster. Used to be. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I've played that 100 times. It's my favorite.
He tried out for television with that guitar, right?
I didn't know that story. I just knew he played it, like, back in the Ubu days.
And before that, a Rocket from the Crypt.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
he pulled out a gun. I heard that the audition for television didn't go too good because he pulls out a gun. Tom Verlaine didn't like that.
I can imagine, man.
It's in the Richard Lloyd book. He talked to him because he left the band for a little bit, so they were going to replace him. But anyway, I got something else here, Lynn. Something you do with Simon Groff? Goff.
Oh, with Simon Goff, yeah.
Okay.
It's from a film. It's a Swedish film we did.
Okay.
That I can't remember which track we sent you, but he and I, like, right before
it's
the pandemic.
It's called The Valley.
Yeah, we scored this Swedish film that had a horrible... The translation into English was awful. It's called War Muffin. But the music was good, and Simon and I just kind of made it back and forth between New York and Berlin. So,
okay.
And it was just cool because once we got the feel, the director let us roll with it. Of course, he didn't pay us enough, but, you know, that's how it goes sometimes.
I should ask Lyle about The Outsider.
Oh, The Outsider. That's a deep cut by the end of Das Domin. It came out on a Sub Pop when they were broke, and it was just their kind of last for the last part in the wind. But you know, I think our bassist Dave Moe wrote that song at that point because Dave was back in the band. But you know, all the bass players, dude. They're all my guys. They're all my guys.
Well, let's listen to The Valley.
Thank you. Thank you.
Walk for Pedro show. Started off that last chunk for this edition. The Valley, Lynn Wright, Simon Goff. Legendary Shack Shakers after that with Rawhide. Everybody knows that. Clint Eastwood, right? His first TV show. Keep them doggies rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Man, my butt is swollen. You know what gets me about that? You know, no time to understand them. Just tying rope and brand them. Like you're going to understand steers? I mean, okay. Okay. But I'll tell you, that guitar man, I think it's Dwayne Dennison from Jesus Lizard. He can play.
Oh, man, Dwayne's a monster.
Cargo Cult with a biscuit before that. Okay, Bob Stagner with Evan Libson and Mike Pagetta. Ah, there's Mike Pagetta from the Kill the Pagetta thing. Yeah, this is Urgent. In brackets, Yellow, part 2 of 3, Bob Stagner, Evan Libson, Mike Pagetta. Which is great, you know, the drummer leading the band, right? Bob Stagner. And then finally, something I don't know of and I'm going to have to be hip to and enlightened. ISU with Inscope Arch, in parentheses, Tunnel Number 1.
Yeah, that's another thing I did. A producer from New York and I, Eric Hogemeyer, went to a tunnel in Central Park and brought some battery-powered everything and just recorded for an hour one night, making some noise. And, you know, people would walk through or not. And then we just took it home and kept the good bits. So that's, yeah, that's like a kind of noisy ambient improv thing.
And the name ISU?
It's called ISU. Like in Spanish, if it's spelled with Y, it would be and you. And it's just, yeah, but we just changed the spelling. I don't know. You know how these things go. You just, somebody writes something down and you say, okay.
I thought it might be an acronym for, like, you know, immediately sucks underground.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe it should have been.
I don't know.
Immediately sucks
underground.
I like it.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's what it means.
That's my
now.
Freudian fucking slip. So,
oh boy.
What I want to know, because we're getting near the end of the show, is what is the next plan? You know, when you get done with recording something, you're ready to record something else, right? All this work you do, but then you're ready to go again. Is that how you guys are feeling?
I think we're gonna flip the switch this time and not do a live, you know, record like we've been doing.
Okay.
I think we're gonna try to get some time and, you know, do some studio stuff and, you know, take our time. You know, we're gonna tusk this next one. You know, we're gonna take a minute on this one. Because, you know, we put out three EPs within 2 years, so
yeah,
we put out
a
lot of music.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't think we're in any hurry to crush something. I just think we want to take our time, you know, and see how it feels to, you know, do it the other way again.
Well, what about the idea of playing this shit out live?
Oh yeah, no, dude. We're like we said last time. We're hitting I-95 hard.
Yeah, I-95
tour.
And let the people know where can they find you on the internet? Where can they find Arctic Institute?
Well, as per your suggestion last time, we now have a website, theroyalarctic.com.
Okay.
So they can
spell
check
it
that
for
out.
The people, rather loud.
Okay, it's ROYALARCTIC, Royal Arctic.
Okay. So no institute there, people, but .com.
Nope, it's just the Royal Arctic. Yeah,
TheRoyalArctic.com. Go there.
Yeah.
That's all your one-stop shopping for information pertinent to the Royal Arctic Institute. And,
thank you for that.
Okay.
Hat tip to you on, Michael.
Okay. Well, it's like having your own fanzine, right? No fucking middleman. No dick leeches. No fucking dick leeches. Look, so have you cleared out all your old stuff? So when you do the next recording things, like you said, you're going to take it slow, but probably everything's going to be brand new and in the moment, right? You've cleared out the old stuff?
That's what I'd like to. Yeah. Nothing. No stragglers. No,
okay.
We're gonna start all fresh.
Okay.
You know. So. You know. But you know, we'll see how it goes.
Well, can I put out an invite for you guys to come back on the show when you do get that thing ready? To please,
yeah.
We can listen to it,
definitely.
And you can talk
about
it, because it seems like you guys dig talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get to go into the weeds of songwriting and stuff. It's
great.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
You know.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, to me, too, I'm an interested party.
Yeah.
All right.
I can, like, kind of relate, you know.
And I think you can.
One great gift, I think, a music cat can do for another music cat is fucking inspire him. So I can't thank both you, Lynn, and Lyle enough for doing that to Watt today.
Well, thank you, Watt,
well,
for the inspiration.
Yeah, decades of inspiration, Mike.
Well, until you're back on, which I hope ain't too long, but let me know. Please bring. Keep
all
on
right.
Keeping on, brothers. Hey, people, it's been February 8th, 2023 edition of Wild Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.